I can't think of his name right now. Yeah, it was Pastor Nancy's son singing it, Grant Dufresne, her youngest son. He isn't that young, he's 30 now, but it was David Ellis. David Ellis is with Kenneth Copeland, with Kenneth Copeland. He's that piano player. He's there all the time, though. He goes to every single session now that Nancy has, all her Miracle Crusades and all of her conferences. And, she's to a point where she's on so many stations throughout the world that is into the billions of, reaching billions of homes. That's my pastor. There's billions now because she's up almost in every foreign country, including she got into Russia through Rick Renner's TV station. So, he sings all the time, and he's good. That was just, that was live. That thing's good enough to be recorded, right, Joey? it would be. It was just the choir singing with them, in the other parts. That was not like a pre-done thing at all. It was done live when we were there. So it was. It got to me, though. I was, can't stop crying. Well, I know that. Yeah, that's the whole thing. That especially that last part, when he saw that we were to be like him. Wait, I got it written down better. Yeah, I'll say it right. But he knew if we became like him, that he must become like us. And so, he suffered every single thing, every temptation that you have ever suffered. And maybe you haven't suffered them all. But he suffered everyone's temptation. That's how much he loves you. And see, the world keeps saying, you better be, to be honest with you, when I was a little girl, and my mom didn't know any better because they were really, really, really good parents. I had good parents. I could see that now as I grew up. It took me 84 years. But anyway, she would always say, I was doing something wrong, she says, God's going to get mad at you. God's going to punish you. That's what she would say. God was going to punish you. But that was just the denomination that they came from. And that's what we learned in that denomination. And I still have to undo that. Yeah. Not that I blame her or anything like that. Just didn't know any better. And see, the whole world halfway thinks that. God's going to do this and God's going to do that. No, it's like, he was saying, you open the door to the devil. There is no bad in God. And when there's everything, like if paint is pure and clean, can it bring, you paint it on something, can it bring out black? It can't, right? Well, my gosh, God is God. He is holy and good. There is no bad in him. How did the devil get to be a devil?
Come on.
Fallen angel, Lucifer. Lucifer fell and his name turned to Satan. He was the highest angel, and he was with God. He was, and he was an angel of music.
Yeah.
I don't like that one. It does that. And he took 30% of the angels with him. And that's why music sometimes turns into evil. Sometimes it does a lot. Okay, well, you can be seated. So, that was, it was good. Thank you. Yeah, Lonnie, Ellie, and it's your birthday today, isn't it? So she got a dog for her birthday. No, I think Victoria got it. Puppy, but it's not a puppy. It's this big already, 4 months old. Hallelujah. Well, amen. But that song, whew, I want us to learn it. Yeah, they talked about it. Okay, so let's go to, you know, this prayer conference, there's conferences like when Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle come to their conferences, but I like them when they're smaller, like when they don't have all the big speakers, because you get a lot more attention, you have a lot more fun, and they lay hands on the pastors all the time. Not the pastors, any of them. They keep laying hands on you, so you get impartation, and I love it. You know, it was good, really good. And then somebody, for the first time in my life, somebody paid for, and Lonnie assists me, you know, on the plane, because she went first so she could go get the rental car, and we wouldn't have to wait for it, which was very nice of her. And so someone paid, upgraded us to first class, us two.
Amen.
So I was like, ooh, we got to sit in the first. I'd never been on first class. Man, I got a full meal. I'm talking chicken parmesan and a Greek salad and pasta with it. And yeah. I mean, I didn't even think they did that on planes anymore. Anyway, it was good. That was fun. Anyway, okay, so let's get back. Well, Father, we just thank you that for all the abundance that you give, that you're a good God. And when we give, Lord, and we trust you, I trust you, Lord, I do, that when we trust you like that, you provide when there is no hope of even looking at it, that there would be provision, God. You provide. I've seen it over and over and over again. So we praise and thank you, Father. We're not in the world system, in the Babylonian system. And that's why we tithe, because we trust God. And then when he knows that, he provides over and over and over, miraculous ways, and ways of just fun, like upgrading you to, you know, just as a gift. We thank you, Father, for the goodness of all those things. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for the money to pay for plane tickets. Thank you, Lord, for these sessions. I'm so grateful to you, Lord. Oh, what a wonderful God you are. And God, we want people to know that you became just like us, so that you knew what it was like, but you took it. And that if we look to you and know who we are in Christ, Lord. So we're asking you to open up the eyes of our understanding this morning to who we are in Christ. And not that old way of that he's going to punish us and he's mad at us. And God, the wonderful, glorious gift of repentance. We thank you for the repentance, Lord. That's a gift. We say, I'm sorry, and you throw it into a sea of forgetfulness. It says that in the Bible. He throws it into a sea of forgetfulness. So we praise and we thank you for that, Lord. What a marvelous God you are, and that the whole body of Christ that's born again needs to get this. I thank you. I praise you, Lord God. So I know that as we give it to the people out here, that they will pass it on. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for it. Okay, you can put Ephesians 1 up. And I'm always, see, okay, Kenneth Hagin. And what we follow is word of faith. The word of faith. Okay, so how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, but hearing what? Hearing the word of God. And that's why that flow of people, most of the people that were with Kenneth Hagin way back, all of the singers are joining Nancy Dufresne. Yeah. And they are all of them, all of the ones that I'm starting to see. And in fact, two of those ladies said they would come. They don't care how big you are, how little you are. But Cindy Black is becoming, and Regina, they were, in fact, whoops, I'll just say this. This is how long ago this was. Tony had a crush on Regina. Tony, did you hear me? Way back. She's married, though. But way back when we used to go to those sessions, he would go with us and his mother and some other people. And you know, those were the Rhema singers, and they were pretty popular. And yeah. Anyway, she said she gave me a card, so she wants to come. She was going to come with Pat Harrison, but now she's kind of starting something on her own. So anyway, Ephesians 1, 16 and 17. And this is the prayer, though, that I tell you to say every day. And I, you know what? Don't take it that I said it. Kenneth Hagin said it. When Kenneth Hagin said that, I did it. Because when he said something, you know how many times Jesus appeared to him? I've known no other man that had appearances from Jesus like he did. He's up in heaven now. But I can tell you this too. He was born, weighed 1.5 pounds. And they weren't, he was born way premature. And they didn't take him. There was no hospitals to take him to. He was never in an incubator. And as a result, the doctor said, just put him, you know, they buried him in their garden, usually. And he said, you might as well bury the baby. You know, and grandma was helping with the home, delivery. And the doctor left to go get something because she was bleeding at his office. He came back, and grandma did not bury him. She saw him kick his leg. And she started to warm him up and do that. Well, he did live, but when he was, 16, he became paralyzed from leukemia, from heart trouble, really bad heart trouble, 3 different conditions. I mean, leukemia itself. He said that if there was ever a cut, he would look at the blood, or they would take blood. It was like white, almost real light colored, lighter than pink, light pink. And, you know, that's, whew. He, guess what? He didn't die until he was 87. Amen. He was miraculously healed. And this man, God appeared, I mean, Jesus appeared to him and told him, because nobody in the earth knew like our authority in Christ. Nobody knew that God wanted us to be just like him. I mean, we're not God. Don't get me wrong. But we, if we cooperate with God, we're capable of many things that God wanted us to do on the earth. And see, all that teaching it'll turn into religion. I don't call us religious. And incapability of doing things for God. God's the one who does it. But we're got to get to that point where when you lay hands on people, it says that you can lay hands on the sick. Okay, but this prayer, when he said to say it, and that we were brand new at that because my daughter went there, and that's why we went there. And I went, I'm going to do it. And I did it. I do not cease to give thanks for you. And it's for us, but it's for other people. We can put their names in there. And when you consistently do that, God makes sure that someone's going to come into their life. You might have a wayward child. Do it for your children. Put their name in here. Oh my gosh, I heard that over and over, and I've heard of miraculous stories of kids who were in prison, and they way gone from what you would think they turned and came to God. Because God will see that other people start coming to them. So I do not cease to pray and give thanks for whatever, Henry, making mention of Henry in my prayers and everybody else. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he would grant to Henry a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the insight into mysteries and secrets and the deep and intimate knowledge of him. And that this is all we're going to do for now, but that the eyes of your understanding in your heart be opened up in your, and it be flooded with light. Yes. So you might know the hope to which you have been called. The hope, hope means expectancy. Hope means a blueprint. You get to build a house, you get a blueprint. What that inheritance is that you can lay hands on the sick. You can go out there and do the works that Jesus did. He said, even greater works will you do. You will do greater works than he did. Amen. He said, I have to go back up into heaven and I'll send the Holy Spirit down to you. The Holy Spirit was not on the earth in the Old Testament. Not until Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came. And see, that's that whole tongue business. Nope, he's gone. That's blasphemy. That's this, that's that, that's this. It is not. It is the Spirit that gives us life. The Spirit is going to help us to do these things on the earth. Always. Now, as soon as you take the credit, though, that inability will go. I mean, it'll be an inability instead of ability to do it. But you say this whole prayer up to 23. I guess we could. You can put the whole thing up there. Go ahead. By having the eyes of your understanding flooded with light. Why? So you can know and understand the blueprint of the Bible, the blueprint of the inheritance of the saints, the hope, the expectancy to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. Go ahead. So why do you have to do that? So you can know and understand that it's immeasurable. You can't even measure it. It's unlimited. It's surpassing greatness of his power in and for us. It's for you who believe. If you don't believe it, it's not going to work. As demonstrated, now look at this. Here's a demonstration that he's going to give you. He's going to say, I demonstrated it when I did this. In the working of his mighty strength, go ahead, which he exerted in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. You know, just keep your focus on what I'm saying. It's easy to get, look. He demonstrated that you could raise people from the dead. And he seated, who's him? Jesus. He seated, God the Father seated Jesus at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Those are demons. There's one devil and a lot of demons that he work for him, and those are fallen angels, probably. Okay, and every name, names of sicknesses and diseases, names of lack, names of oppression and depression and all of that. I mean, I've gone over this with people over and over, but you have to come to a point where you believe it. When you keep saying it every day, you begin to believe it. But if you don't want to do that, that's up to you. In every name that is named, above every title, every ruler, every communist ruler, that's trying to control, that can be conferred, not only in this age, but in this world, but also in the age and in the world that is to come. And when that was written, that would be the age and world to come is the one now. Yes. Go ahead. One more verse. And he has put all things under Jesus' feet, God the Father has, and has appointed him the universal and the supreme head of the church, a headship which should be exercised throughout the church. Who's the head of the church?
Jesus.
Well, you know what? The head has a body.
Yes.
Go ahead, next verse. Which is his body? That's you. Okay, a body has shoulders,
yes,
arms, upper arms,
yep,
elbows,
yep,
all these
legs,
every teeny tiny little part up to the little toe. Uh-huh. And you're one of them.
Yeah.
You're one of those parts of his body.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. Yeah. But see, the head and the body are not separated. He lives in you. You don't like, I've heard people say, well, you know what? Okay, well, my body's out there, you know, my head's out there running around without a body. But see, if you are born again, you are part of his body, and that's why he wants us to be doing something in the church. Or seeing there's churches here, churches there. Now, only the born again churches are this. This we're talking about people who believe in being born again. Yes, it's best to be the Spirit-filled too, but at least it's born again. Okay, so the fullness of him that fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him. You see, if my arm is cut off for some reason, I don't have the full measure of my body, do I? And when that hand or else if it's paralyzed, it's not functioning. And see, he wants you to function in that body of Christ and do something. You know what? This is the most important thing in your life. People put a lot of things ahead of it. And when you put this ahead of it, all those your family starts to come in unison and together, and things start to straighten out. Your finances straighten out. Everything starts to get straightened out. But people hold back bits and pieces of it. Now, this is true Christianity. That's all I'm going to say to you. And I'm reading the Bible, though. I'm not just telling you and making up something. I'm telling you what it is. The full measure of him lives in his body. And when we cooperate with each other, when we cooperate with each other like this, you know what? You're going to have good stuff going on. Okay. He makes everything complete. And he fills everything everywhere with himself. Okay. So, you know. Okay. The believer in Christ is a different kind of a person.
That's true.
Yes.
Amen. Good.
I just want to tell you something. I'm not doing this. I'm doing it for God. I'm not just whistling Dixie. What bothers me is that you see people skipping church all the time. We're in the last days. And it's important. You're not going to, you know, your family, nobody's going to get anywhere without the teaching that you have. That's why they give the fivefold ministry. I can't help it. He chose me. Maybe a man was supposed to be. In fact, there were men, and all those churches went down. They got tired of it. And you know, you got to keep going, whether you got 5 people or 10 people. You keep going, and you'll keep going. But see, when people skip church, that shows me where that's at on their list.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is up here. Money's up here. Well, it's way down here under my feet. You're not going to get anywhere. And even husbands, as heads of families, need to tell their, get their family to church. I am so grateful, even though it was not, it was a denominational church that didn't even know about being born again. But I am so grateful to my parents for taking me to church. Because it taught me to go to church no matter what. It taught me, rain or shine, we went to church. And it taught me that we should, that should be a first place in our life. And it was exciting when we went to church. It was. He made it exciting. My mom did. My dad too. But, you know, he was working a lot. But I just remember all that stuff back. You can look back on where your parents were and what they did for you. And they wanted you to. But they were right. Well, it's getting the world, you know. Well, I had a lot of fun in the world. Not, you know, the bad fun is bad. But I was in the world for 40 years. Let's face it. You know? But see, you, the believer in Christ is a different kind of a person. I can tell you what it was like back there. Now, 44 years, I can tell you back. I keep saying it over and over, but do you realize the impact of it? There was an impact there. So, see, we're different species from the unbeliever. Now, I'm going to say this, too. It's just best we had to leave friends when we became born again. Because they will influence you the wrong way. Even my own family says, "Ah, come on, Ken. You always used to drink wine with us. You used to drink with us. Come on." And then we were baby Christians. And so he did it. It was my sister and her husband. And yeah. And then we're coming home, and my youngest son, who is now 52, but he was little. And he says, "Daddy, why are you drinking?
No,
why?
He said, why? Dad, yeah, that's wine? Right. And
yeah.
That was it. I never drank again.
Yep.
Never drank
he
again.
Noticed it.
Caused one of these little ones to fall.
Never did it again. And see, he, because they were happy that we were doing that, because it were, there wasn't as, there, it, the family life was much nicer. That was why they were, it was more peaceful in our house because of it. Okay, well, out of the Passion Bible, and I'll just read it unless you get it up, but it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ," that means you got born again. I'll quote it from the King James. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away in your spirit. Behold, all things have become new." Your spirit was black. And that instant, it turned white. Okay, here's the Passion. "Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order of living has vanished. And behold, everything is fresh and new." See, the old order includes our old identity of ourselves. A life of sin, the power of Satan over us, the religious works of trying to please God. Religion isn't works. Religion is obeying the Bible. I mean, Christianity is obeying the Bible. Religion... religion is
law.
And see, the Old Testament passed away. But we encourage you to come to church because I know that the revelation knowledge that we know helps you to understand this. Okay, so see, the power of Satan over us, the religious works, trying to please God, our relationship with the world, which needs to go. I mean, you don't give up family. I mean, we didn't ever give them up. And I eventually led my sister to the Lord when she was dying. And she wanted me to. She knew I knew it. My sisters were all older than me, and I'm talking old enough to be my mother, practically. One of them was 17 years older. One was 13 years older. That was the one I led to the Lord when she was. But she says, tell me how can I make sure I'm going to heaven? You see, and no one ever told her. My other sister said, ask Jackie. She was in California, though, way up in North California, and she died. I don't know for sure. And, you know, I had three sisters. But you know, you do what you can. All right. But see, if you keep relationships with the world continuously, you'd be shocked. How even the neighbors knew. So there were some neighbors that were born again. They went to the church of, and I'm forever grateful to them because they would pray for us. They would stick up for us too. And they said, you know, they weren't even spirit-filled, but I love those people to this day. Now, in fact, my daughter who's divorced for quite a while. And their son was divorced, and they used to go to the country school together, and now they're going with each other. There's a possibility of marriage there. Both in their 60s. But, see, we're not reformed. People come out of prison. We were in prison ministry for 7 years. And I mean, you know, there's all that reformation they try to do in there. It doesn't work. But when you get somebody, I can remember once we were sitting in there. And this was all men's prison. And this guy was sitting right next to me. And he says, do I have to go to classes to get that? And he says, I got to tell you, I'm a homosexual. But he said, they raped me when I came in. I mean, you hear stuff like that. All kinds of stuff. And I says, no, you don't have to go to classes. You want to get born again? And I excused myself and just went right, you know, to the back of the room there and led him to the Lord. I mean, what, you know, and transformed lives. See, we're completely new by our union with Christ. Indwelling Holy Spirit. Maybe you still, you know what? And even when you see this, even when you goof up, you say, well, I was an alcoholic and I goofed up, or I was a drug addict and I did some drugs. You know what? Because you're born again and your spirit is white, all you have to say, God, forgive me and help me to overcome. Gone. It's gone. See, because people want to give up. Well, I goofed up now again. I might as well just forget it and just go all. It's like you go on a diet, you know, and you eat one piece of whatever, candy, a box in a box, and you want to, then you think, oh, I goofed up my diet. I'm going to eat the whole box or the whole pie. But see, we don't have a chance on that one. No. No. But see, if you goof up in some big way, Come on. I'm telling you, you could murder somebody. And if your heart was repentant, God will forgive him. Some people can't understand that. That is the grace of God. I knew that if I was to become like them, to become like him, he would have to become like us. Exactly. And experience. It said he experienced every single temptation, but he never did them. Okay, so the indwelling Holy Spirit will help you. That's another thing. God couldn't do anything till Pentecost. Holy Spirit comes down from heaven first time. He breaks through the atmosphere of the earth. And you know what? Even that did something. That's significant. Through the barrier. And comes to earth. And he lives on earth now. Because he lives in born again Christians. And Jesus said, if I don't go to heaven, the Holy Spirit can't come. Jesus was their helper. And the names of the Holy Spirit are advocate, which means a lawyer. Hey, Jesus died for your sins. And now that's okay. You're blocked out. And he says to the devil, leave him alone. They repented. He's an advocate. He's a comforter. I got to say him in alphabetical order. Okay. He's a counselor. Where is his counsel? Ask him for counsel. He'll even say, turn to that scripture. I love this one too. He's a comforter. If you got hurt in some way or were mad at yourself, say, Holy Spirit, I need your comfort. And he gives it to you. He's like Mindy and he's Ed Mariah, like a soft blanket. Honestly, I've thought that in bed sometimes because you hear about something, and there's in the winter a couple times they brought this soft blanket. And I thought about their soft blanket, so I got mine out. And I said, Holy Spirit, you gotta comfort me. Now I mean you can do that. He's your intercessor. He prays for you even though you sinned. He'll pray that you come back. You just don't understand the impact of how special the stuff that you have gotten because you got born again. But we need to utilize them in our life. He loves you. He loves you, Ernesto. He loves you. He's forgotten all the stuff. The second you get born again, that stuff's absolutely blotted out, wiped out with the blood.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus goes, it's gone.
Amen.
Okay, where was I? I was on the intercessor. He prays for you. Oh, God, I'm praying for them that they'll repent and that they'll come back to you. What more could you ask for? Amen. He's your strengthener and your standby. You know, maybe you used to be a drug addict and you goofed up and you took some drugs. And you go, I got to wear this off. And he said, I'll strengthen you. I'll stand by you. He will. He can't help but do that. God gave him all those abilities. That's the Holy Spirit. Oh,
it's wonderful.
It's very wonderful.
Peace.
Yeah. So inside of you, a new creature, and it's more than a human being. You know what? Anybody ever see Transformers movie? You know, transform those cars, or you can buy Legos that do that. No, Transformers, period. Okay, the blueprints from your old human nature have been thrown out. The blueprints, and they've been replaced with the DNA of God, literal DNA of God. See, a Christian is a human enhanced, supercharged, under the hood sports car. what's a really hot? Yeah. Chevelle? Yeah, I don't even know what that is. It's not a Chevy, is it? No. I remember once, so we were looking for a car and just for fun, actually, because I knew the car dealer, and he says, here, get in this Porsche.
Yeah.
And I remember it was, you know, a little spark. And it, when I got it, he turned it on, and it was going, and it was saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. I mean, I mean, that's what it reminded me of. It was just like, come on, I'm getting antsy, go. Anyway, seriously. Well, anyway, so we are recreated in the image and likeness of God in the inner man. We are in the inner man. And there's no, get this, there's no difference between us and Jesus. In the inner man. Because God, you know, God's blood wiped all those sins out. And all you have to do is repent. Repentance is a gift, a gift, a gift, a gift. You just immediately just say, forget. And you don't have to feel emotional. Do it as an act of your will in obedience to the word of God. Because it tells you to do that. And God honors his word. He does. Well, what else? We're God-men, indwelled by divinity. Yeah. Do you know what I mean by divinity? Yeah. Everybody knows the Father,
Son,
and the Holy Ghost. You are indwelled by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, I have a little side note here. They were saying, you know, the new world order has come. I mean, or they thought it was going to come. It can't come until we're out of here. We're going to get raptured to church. But it said, they were saying the new world order has come, but we are a new spiritual order.
Amen.
Let's see, 1 Peter 2:20, 2:9. This is, I love that verse.
Yeah.
1 Peter 2:9. Yeah. I'm just going to take my time on this and keep going on it because I've got about 5 pages and I'm on the first page. I'm not going to do that though. Okay. He's got it up there amplified. But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood or Nestle. You're a holy nation. You're a holy nation. You are a peculiar, actually that name, they didn't translate that. What is it in the special. That's what it is, a special people. They didn't translate that right. See, they translated it from Greek, and they couldn't find the right word, so they put that, you know, here. Well, we are peculiar. Anyway, that we should show forth the praises of him who called you. He literally called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He saw you. Now, Jesus died before the foundations of the world on the cross. Did you know that? Before he even created the world, he died on the cross for you. Now, that isn't the account that's in the Bible by Isaiah, though. Okay, well, Isaiah saw it. He saw it. It is that account. But he saw at least the outer part of what happened. But from the foundations of the world, he died for every single man, from Adam and Eve to the last baby that's not born again. He died for them all. But this is the key there. You have to want him. You have to ask him to come in. He's not going to do it. And it says, that's Bible. That's a verse. That's in John 1. But as many as received him, they became the sons and daughters of God. Now, this is what I noticed when nobody ever told me that when I came from. They never told me that, but it wasn't their fault because they didn't know either. I keep saying that. How can you tell somebody something when you never learned it? So, but see, Satan, after the church started, the church means born again. Yeah. Okay. And then they, you know, going to town in the book of Acts, the devil got in there and misconstrued and twisted a whole bunch of stuff. And it turned into religion. Some of it. Thank God some of it lasted. Okay, so that Paul's prayer there was that God would shine the floodlight of his spirit into the hearts of believers. So they could see and know and understand that our light should be getting brighter in the earth and going beyond you. Okay, here it is. Here's the cross. Already get beyond the cross. Right? He's off of the cross. I hate to say it. Sometimes I don't like crucifixes with Jesus still on it. He's off of it. See, but I learned that all my life, and that was where it was. He's on the cross, you know. And I said, he's off the cross. That's why he did it. So, see, Christianity includes more than what people of the Old Testament received. Although they worshiped and served God, God didn't live in him. It was impossible. He hadn't died on the cross yet. So see, enjoy a measure of his presence and his blessing. Start to enjoy it. Start to talk to him. You don't have to go, "Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you." No, I go, "God, I need some comfort. I just heard some bad news. That's what I do." I actually got in my soft blanket and gone, "God, this is you. You're comforting me." I mean, you know, when our son died and stuff like that, you know, I was like a little kid. And come to my daddy with a blankie. You know, talk to him like that. And then use his word, too, what you know. But just talk to him. He wants to talk to you. If he's your best friend, it actually says he becomes a friend. And a friend means a covenant. In the Bible, it means, in the book of John, it means a covenant partner. But such a covenant, you're married to him. And he would never leave you. So go to him and talk to him. You know, if you know, Sonia's my friend, or you know, you guys are all my friends, but I go to you and I go, "In the name of Jesus, I ask you, you know, would you please give me some money?" No, no, I mean, could you send some money away like Lonnie said? No, I wouldn't, you know, you get too formal. Or you get that, Father. Now, I'm not making fun of that, but when you talk to God like he's your friend, he's real. He becomes real to you. You know, okay, you're supposed to put God before your husband or your wife. But see, what I see, you put him way down here, especially when you won't even come to the place where we're gathered. And I want to tell you, it's okay to watch on there, but if you can come in the presence, there's a corporate anointing, and that's a burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God that comes on you and helps you. And in fact, today, I do want to, okay, so pastors get the impartation of those other big ministers. And you get the impartation of what they are, of what's going on. And we always come back and want to give it to you. And that's all you have to do is lay hands on people. And that's not me imparting it, but it was imparted to me. In fact, there's a verse, and that's biblical too. There's a verse, it's in Romans 1, and it says, "I long to see your face." And see, since that, all the, you know, the way we can watch at home in our pajamas and run, go get some cereal and miss half the sermon, and you know what I mean? I got to go to the bathroom. Whoops, we missed another 15 minutes. And you don't, and you talk to each other, and you're not getting it. Okay. Oh, yeah. No, what I meant, even if they're watching the sermon, our sermon, yeah, I know it. That's another thing. You can watch famous speakers or famous ministers, but when you're in the hospital, are they going to come to visit you? Yeah. I was going to say something else about that, though. Well, kind of lost my train.
Well, you're saying come to church.
Yeah. Instead of, okay, the impartation is here. There's a covenant anointing. We're in covenant with each other. I hope we all love each other. If not, just repent. And you get more out of it. More is going into you than you think. Okay, so follow, you know, enjoy a measure of his presence and his blessing, and follow his teaching to do good works. And I'll tell you what, when you're filled with the Spirit, you have more. See, God's not looking for people who will live for him. Well, I'm living for Jesus. I'm not trying to make fun of it. We have to live and operate in the light. First, I'm going to say, we have to live and operate in the light that we know. I'll tell you what. Sometimes there may be corrections in a church, and you may not understand what's going on. But let me tell you, I'm accountable to God. Yeah. And if I got to stand in front of God and say, well, you knew this. You were walking in the light of this. Why didn't you tell that person correct them? Because you're scared to correct them because you do love them and you're scared they're going to leave. And sometimes they do. Yeah. And you cry many tears about it at home. But then you've got to walk in the light that you know. And you're getting a lot of that. You're getting a lot. I'm not trying to do, but because of the hunger. Because of the hunger that I had, I studied and studied and studied and studied and studied and read all of Kenneth Hagin's books, although I couldn't go to Rhema at the time. And you know, listen to his tapes and then follow people who are still in that same flow of Kenneth Hagin's word of faith, Rhema, and the revelation knowledge that he knew because Jesus appeared to him. I'm not sure how many. Anybody know?
Three, I think.
Did you ever learn at Bible college? Seven? Oh, it's more than that. Oh, yeah. Nobody, he said, on the earth knew about authority. He told Kenneth Hagin, and I'm going to teach you about taking your authority. But he would appear to him. Jesus. Yep. Okay, so we say, though, that we want to live for him. But he is looking for people who will let him live through them. You see what I mean? Even when we would sing those songs, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you. 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 Okay, if you know you have a friend and all you ever do is need him, or you're a husband and wife, and your wife just all she is a big fat baby and always needs her husband. Always needs her husband. I mean, that's she never gives anything back. Yeah, we've got to, we're supposed to be doing the works of Jesus on the earth.
Amen.
He said, greater works will you do when I go to the Father. Well, you know what? I've never heard anybody else say this. I listened to Kenneth Hagin once and on YouTube, and he said, you know what? Did you ever think about it? When Jesus walked the earth, he hadn't died on the cross yet. And Pentecost hadn't happened yet. He said he could not lead anybody to the Lord. Did you ever think of that? That's a greater works. We can do greater works because we can lead people to the Lord. You know, the people that he helped were potential, like you borrowed money. You know, you know what I mean? That he ministered to.
Come on.
That's true. Amen. When he walked the earth, he couldn't say, "Would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior?"
No.
He had to die on the cross and go to hell first.
Yes.
Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes.
That's what Kenneth is saying. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And you couldn't lead anybody into the baptism of the Holy Ghost because the Holy Spirit hadn't come down to earth yet. Well, those are greater works.
Yeah.
But and then on the other hand, Kenneth Hagin said that there's a whole bunch of little people Jesus is running around.
Yeah.
You see, and there was only him. He was the only one who would do lay hands on people and miracles would happen. Well, when there's a bunch of us that could do it throughout the earth, if we do it.
Yeah.
I don't think you're believing me. I can just tell that. We're okay. He said, ascended up into heaven. And he says, now, I'm going to read the Great Commission to you. It's in Matthew 28, first, and then also in. Yep. Okay, Matthew 28:18. Let's start at verse 16. You know why? I'll show you why I want to read that. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw them, they worshipped him. But what?
Some doubted. They didn't believe him.
That can go on right now in this church. Some doubted. Some doubt stuff. This is the word of God, and it has not changed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will never pass away. Then he said, and Jesus came and he spoke to them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he said, now, if anybody had any English in school, when a sentence starts with the verb, it's a command. And there's a subject and a verb in every sentence. There has to be, or it's not a sentence.
That's right.
The understood subject here is, see the next verse in verse 19, it says, go. What's the understood subject? That's a verb.
Amen.
You go. Now, you go.
Come on.
Therefore, and teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, because he lives in you. Now, that was the Great Commission. Now go to Mark 16. Same thing. But he was... You know, and why the reason they wrote it different is because each one had a different personality.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? Start with verse 13.
Yeah.
I'm going to, and read it, put it up there from the Amplified. And it says, and they returned to Jerusalem, it's up there on the wall, and told the others, But they did not believe them either. His belief, unbelief, even among his disciples. See, there can be that in us. But we believe the doctor's report immediately. And afterward, he appeared to the 11 apostles themselves as they reclined at table. And he reproved them and reproached them for their unbelief, their lack of faith in his word. Here's his word right here. And their hardness of heart. You know what? Sometimes we've got to ask the Lord to circumcise any kind of hardness that has come on our hearts. I've done that many times. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, I think, and it says, circumcise. In fact, I've prayed it for my relatives or other people. Circumcise the hardness. Get that layer of hardness off so they begin to see the beauty of your word and the softness of your word and the love of your word. And how good you are to us. We so much believe people in the world that are experts on this and that, but this heaven and earth, this is forever, and it's God, and it can't pass away. And if you stop and think of all that and how God wants to be good to us. He wants to love us so much. He became like us, that song. And it says their hardness of heart. And you can have hardness of heart while I'm preaching. Because they refused to believe those who had seen him and looked at him attentively after he had risen from the death. Now let's go back to the King James. Verse 15, and he said to them, what's the understood subject?
You.
What's the verb?
Go.
You go.
Go
into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can practice on that new puppy.
He that believes.
But notice it says, believes first and is baptized. Too many people believe that if you sprinkle water on a baby, that they're forever going to go to heaven. They say it at funerals. Folks, I myself believed that for 40 years. Well, not really. I was starting to doubt it way back. But because it did make sense to me. Okay, here, just a minute. Okay, here's some water. This is a baby. Okay, now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
And
now you're
a soldier.
You're
supposed to be a soldier.
No. Okay, so you grow up, and so they still say at a funeral that you're baptized into the church or you were baptized when you were a baby, therefore they're in heaven. But I'll tell you this, they murdered 3 people and they raped a bunch of women. And they did this and they did that. You know, they lived and never repented. But since they were sprinkled with water when they were a baby and didn't know what was going on, you see what kind of sense that makes? It doesn't make any sense. Get baptized after we got rebaptized. On our 14th anniversary at Boys Town in the pool, not from Boys Town, but whoever was baptizing you rented the pool at Boys Town. But we got rebaptized. But see, does that make any sense to you? Thank you. Okay. So, he that believes and is, you believe first that Jesus raised from the dead and you ask him into your heart and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs, and a little baby doesn't know anything. And these signs shall follow them that do believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus, shall they cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall take up serpents. Rebuke demonic spirits. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. And that's usually on the mission field. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's it. So after that, the Lord spoke to them. He received them up to heaven, sat on the right hand of God. See, he sat on the right hand of God and he said, you go do the work now. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word of God with signs following. Amen. Okay, so we are going to, if it's up to you, you know, but I know that the Lord wants me to impart. Just.